Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for listening this morning. Just want to let you know you can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keyes, and you can become a fan. Just look me up, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes, on Facebook. Also, if you just look up my name, sometimes a page will come up. But I encourage you to follow and also become a fan because I do a lot of giveaways. And if you missed the show earlier, I just spoke with Elio Villafranca, Cuban jazz pianist. That show will be archived shortly, and you'll be able to listen or share with friends. I'll let you know that we're past 73,000 downloads of the podcast. I want to thank you for your support. And, again, I want to encourage you to become a fan. Also, you can send me an email, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Any comments you have about past shows, upcoming guests you'd like to see, send me an email. Again, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. But right now, we're going to be talking about an important issue, Down syndrome. October is Down Syndrome Awareness Month, and I'll be having special guest Julie Savalos. She's the VP of Marketing from the National Down Syndrome Society, and also we'll be having a doctor on the show. So I believe they're on the line now.
Hi,
good
Joy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi,
thank
good
you
morning,
for
Brian.
Having us. Yes.
Hi, thank you so much. I just want to say thank you, especially to Julie, for helping connect everybody together. Doctor, tell me how to pronounce your last name correctly.
It's Dr. Scottco.
Dr. Scottco. And also, Julie, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's an important issue. Actually, I have a friend of mine. His daughter had Down syndrome when I remember growing up. And I really didn't know what that was, what it meant, how it affected the daughter. It was just she had Down syndrome. That was just this label. So I love doing shows because I really want to educate people about different things, whether it's from lupus, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, sarcoidosis, whatever it is. The better, more knowledge you have, I think the better advocate you can be. So I want to start off with the doctor. Why don't you explain from a medical standpoint what is Down syndrome?
Well, Joy, Down syndrome occurs when an individual has an extra copy of the 21st chromosome. And typically, all of us have a total of 46 chromosomes or 23 pairs, where one copy comes from our mother and the other copy comes from our father. And those are numbered 1 all the way down to 22, and then the smallest one determines whether we're a boy or a girl. And the pair number 21, when there's an extra copy, when there's three kind of versions of that, that results in trisomy 21, which is the most common form of Down syndrome. And with that extra chromosome or those extra genes, the extra programs that tell our body how to function, come some challenges in terms of medical challenges and also some educational challenges. But as many parents remind us, with that extra chromosome comes a lot of extra life lessons on perseverance, on trying hard and living fulfilling lives.
Well, there's more than 400,000 people living with Down syndrome in the United States, according to the NDSS. Now, Julie, how did you get connected with the NDSS?
Well, I have a daughter who's almost 3 who has Down syndrome, and I was aware of them as being a main resource that I went to when she was born, and then I decided I really wanted to spend more time being an advocate, and the only way I really had time to do that was to work for the cause. So I've recently joined them as their VP of marketing so that I could devote myself full time. When you're a working parent, it's hard to do a lot on the side, so I really wanted it to become my job.
So now, doctor, in terms of what are the causes of some of the things on the NDSS site, we're talking about that younger women have a more likely chance of having a baby with Down syndrome. What are some causes, genetic issues, ethnic issues? What are some of those things that kind of maybe help bring Down syndrome about?
Well, it's a great question, and largely we do not know still today what causes the most common chromosomal condition, Down syndrome. We know that as an expectant mother gets older, her chances of having a child with Down syndrome increases, but we don't know why that is, and we don't know what causes Down syndrome. We know that it's nothing that the mother did, it's nothing that the mother did during college, and there's no blame whatsoever on the parents. It's really a chance genetic effect. And certainly as you get older, your chances of having a child increases. But of course, more younger women are having children. So statistically, more children with Down syndrome are born to younger mothers.
Now, Julie, like you said, it's very challenging, I guess, working and having a child in general. But working and having a child with special needs, what are some supports that the NDSS can provide to parents?
Well, we're really, our main role is as the national advocate, and that means we do several things. One of the main things is our website as a resource where we post all the local affiliates people can go to. So whether they've just met someone or they've just had a child or just had a diagnosis, they can come to our website and learn the facts, the truths and the myths, local organizations that they can get involved with. Something really helpful when Nina was born for me was to meet other parents. Then you go from having just reading information to really interacting and seeing what kids can do, because there's a lot of stereotypes out there. People know the term, but they don't really know what it means to live as a person with Down syndrome. And so getting involved in local organizations and meeting people in your area is really important. So we support 350 or so affiliates around the country, and that's a big part of our role. We also play a major role in Washington, D.C., as involved in public policy, lobbying and working for people with disabilities and in specific Down syndrome to make sure that the laws support what they need in the school system and in their lives. And we also do public awareness, which is largely my piece. So we have a campaign called My Great Story, where people can write in about their loved ones or people, friends they have, or about themselves and share their story so that people can really understand what their lives are like and what great accomplishments they've made. And those are really
That's a really beautiful piece, my great story. I really just love the way that comes up on the page. You can click the, you know, celebrities, education, work, sports, hobby, travel, all different types of things people can check out there. So I'll post that link on the fan page and on Twitter so people can check that out. Now, I want to go back to the doctor. Some of the things I was reading about life expectancy in the past, there was a shorter life expectancy for people with Down syndrome. Now that has increased to maybe even the age of 80. Why is that? Why was it so young that they would pass away, and now why is it that they're able to live longer?
Well, we know about 50% or nearly half of all babies born with Down syndrome will have a heart condition, and some of those heart conditions fix themselves on their own, but many of them require surgical intervention. And long time ago, it was the case that children with Down syndrome were not offered that surgery. But now that surgery is commonplace and actually legally required, we have noticed that children with Down syndrome are now living long, robust, full lives. And medical technology and medical advances have really allowed physicians to help people with Down syndrome maximize their potential while we take care of some of the medical issues. And now the average lifespan for someone with Down syndrome is really even approaching 60, which is amazing when we consider way back when these surgeries weren't offered to individuals with Down syndrome.
Well, that's really great to hear because, again, I like I said, I personally did not know a lot about Down syndrome, and I don't think many people do. I know. Now, can you explain about the facial characteristics of people with Down syndrome? Why does that happen?
Yeah, so with an extra gene, the body is programmed to have some certain characteristics that go along with Down syndrome. And as a physician, when we see a new baby and someone asks us, do you think this baby has Down syndrome? Some of the things that we look for are some unique and distinctive facial features. So the eyes tend to slant upward. Sometimes the ear is a little bit lower. Sometimes the mouth is a little bit smaller, so the tongue protrudes. And oftentimes, individuals with Down syndrome will have one crease across their palm and a little bit of a bigger space between their first and second toe, like my sister who has Down syndrome. But as many parents point out, and as certainly I remind them as a physician, none of these facial characteristics or none of these characteristics on their hands and toes are dangerous. They're just kind of the markers of Down syndrome. And as families learn to accept and celebrate the joy in their child, these sort of characteristics no longer tend to be noticed by the family members.
Well, one of the great things that the National Down Syndrome Society is doing, and let me mention your website is ndss.org. Again, ndss.org. The advocacy work and policy work, people can go to the page, the Advocacy Action Center, and you can find out things that are happening. One of the things I was reading about, Julie, was about educational assessments and expectations for academic expectations. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that?
Yes, well, what we try to advocate for in Washington is to make sure that there are the highest expectations possible on people with disabilities and with Down syndrome, because there's really a wide range. I'm sure Dr. Scottko can attest to this. There's a wide range of abilities, so you really don't know going in, just like you don't know really with any kid what their potential might be. So we try to make sure that everything done in the educational system gives them the best chance to succeed and doesn't kind of give them lower standards where they won't be required to improve, and the teachers and educational system won't be required to improve and keep improving the education. So that's really our main goal education-wise, and it's definitely a really important one, because people with Down syndrome can certainly learn, do learn, read, write, speak, have many talents, and so we don't want any teacher believing that there's lost hope and it's not worth spending all of their efforts
on the child. Yeah, let me just tell the audience a little bit more about Dr. Scottko. In 2001, he co-authored the national award-winning book, Common Threads, Celebrating Life with Down Syndrome, and more recently, Fasten Your Seatbelt, a crash course on Down syndrome for brothers and sisters. Now, you said your sister has Down syndrome, Doctor?
That's, I have two wonderful sisters, and Kristen, who's 2 years younger than I am, does have Down syndrome.
So how was it for you as a family member, being on the inside, so to speak, growing up with a sibling that has Down syndrome? What are the changes that occurred in your life, you think, because of her?
Boy, you know, I think all of us in our family are lucky to have Kristen as a life coach. She certainly has taught us so many important lessons on how to keep on going when others would have ordinarily quit, how to smile when everyone else is frowning. Kristen is the person who gets on stage and will dance until the night is long, and she certainly lives a full and robust life. It's because of her I decided to become a doctor, and it's because of her that I'm lucky enough to now be a physician who takes care of people with Down syndrome, and having the opportunity to work with great organizations like the National Down Syndrome Society. You know, I think siblings are uniquely lucky, Joy, because we have individuals who teach us these lessons. And my colleagues Sue Levine and Rick Goldstein and I surveyed brothers and sisters from around the country, and we asked them, what is it like to have someone with Down syndrome in your family? And 88% of brothers and sisters who are older than 12 said they felt they were better people because of their sibling with Down syndrome, and 94% said they were proud of their sibling. And I think it really speaks volumes to the fact that while there are challenges, the positives and the rewarding aspects really do seem to come through.
Well, that's great. I want to just say that I think any family that has to deal with someone with special abilities does learn a lot about themselves, you know, and like you said, I think it pushes you to go higher. I mean, yourself, it pushed you to go into medicine. You went to Harvard, all these things. So people, I think, maybe automatically think there's some negative, but there's so many positives sometimes living in that situation. Julie, why don't you tell the audience about the Buddy Walk and how they can get involved in the Buddy Walk?
The Buddy Walk is a great program that we started back in 1995, and it's national. So in many, many towns and cities across the country, in many states, we have Buddy Walks, and they're mostly in October, which is the National Awareness Month for Down Syndrome. So the few in September, a few in November, most are in October, so I encourage anyone listening to look up their local Buddy Walk and see if they could attend. They're just really celebratory events where it's not an athletic event, so to speak. It's a really celebration, you know, food events, and then a nice walk with your family, friends, and people with Down syndrome for about a mile. And it's just a chance to involve the community in an event and to celebrate, and families look forward to this all year round and really get geared up. And they also raise money for their local affiliate organization and for our organization, which helps us fund our advocacy work in Washington. So it's a really important program and one that's also very much fun to participate in.
Why don't you just tell them one more time about the Migrate story and how can they add, if they have a story they want to add on the website there. I did put the link in the room, but just explain that one more time about Migrate Story.
Sure. Migrate Story is an online storybook on our website where if you are a person with Down syndrome or if you know someone or you've been touched in some way and you want to share your story, you can go onto that storybook and submit. You write like a paragraph for whatever you're wanting to contribute, and you have the chance to upload a photo and put your story in there. You know, mine is up there. You put a link in my description, and I just said how proud I was of Nina starting preschool this year and going to the same school as her brother goes to and being fully included. So that was my story. But really anything that is memorable or touches someone or they want to share, we love having those stories, and then we feature one in our newsletter each month, our e-newsletter. And people can win contests for if their story is voted on the most that month. And it's just a fun, celebratory way to share lives with people who may not have known your story otherwise.
Well, I think that's a really beautiful project. Doctor, I want to talk to you about what's on the forefront in terms of research about Down syndrome, in terms of are there people, what are they working on in terms of a cure, trials, clinical trials that might be going on? What's happening on the forefront?
Well, Joy, there are many scientists and physicians around the country right now who are having breakthrough discoveries and learning from mouse models that have Down syndrome on potential pharmaceuticals that can increase the cognitive capabilities of our friends with Down syndrome. And the trials have now started. So there are many companies that are enrolling or inviting people with Down syndrome to enroll to see whether or not taking some of these pharmaceutical drugs will enhance their memory, their attention, and their cognitive capabilities. So I think we're really on the cusp of some exciting science and some exciting breakthroughs. But of course, as you know, Joy, this is also coming on the cusp of a landmark announcement that came this past Monday as new prenatal tests came out to detect Down syndrome in pregnancy. And so while there are new opportunities for people with Down syndrome, there are now earlier, faster, safer ways to detect Down syndrome during pregnancy. And an open question remains, will we slowly start to see babies with Down syndrome disappear as more families might choose to not continue their pregnancies?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that even with the issue of, it's not related to this show, but gender in different countries, people are getting, you know, pre-screening and find out whether they have a girl or not. And some cultures are becoming imbalanced because people are aborting the girl child because they only want to have a boy. So similar with Down syndrome, if you find out earlier, then what? You know, how is that going to make a difference? And as you said, it has brought so much richness into your life to have a sister with Down syndrome. To try to eliminate every child with Down syndrome, I think, first of all, would be impossible, but also you might miss out on, who knows, another great scientist. Again, because let's reemphasize that their facial or physical features do not denote what's inside mentally or cognitively. So I think people somehow think that people with Down syndrome, like your daughter, is going to school with her brother. So there's a lot of myths out there, you know. Julie, what are some other myths that people come to you about and then you have to say, no, that's not the way it is?
I think people might assume that children, because they might take longer to learn something, will never learn it. But so if you meet a two-year-old and they're only maybe babbling or maybe not talking yet, someone might assume, oh, they're just never going to talk, they can't learn. Whereas the timeline is just a little different for people with Down syndrome, and you never really know exactly what each individual's timeline will be. So that's something you kind of learn as a parent, is this person is unique, has their own timeline. They're not going to hit the milestones everybody else hits at a certain time range, or they might. And you just help them with early intervention of therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, help them meet their milestones, and they get there, but they'll get there on their own timeline.
Well, that's one of the issues, though, and I will, both you or the doctor can speak to this, is about health care and the cost of raising a child with, say, special needs and surgeries, and some plans don't cover this or that, and, you know, people may not be able to keep up with the co-pays. What are some things, does the NDSS have resources to help parents or guardians find financial support?
Now, one thing I could say as a physician, why I'm so proud that the National Down Syndrome Society exists, is because, like Julie mentioned, they lobby for very important pieces of legislation, and right now they are championing a piece of legislation that would build joy, more Down syndrome clinics, centers of excellence around the country. I'm fortunate to be a physician in the Down syndrome program at my Children's Hospital Boston, where we're a specialty clinic to make sure people with Down syndrome get the best medical care that they deserve based on the research that's out there. And we work hand in hand with community physicians. But the majority of America does not have one of these specialty Down syndrome clinics. And so the NDSS is really working to champion this piece of legislation that, if Congress passes, would give us the ability to build more of these centers of excellence.
That's really wonderful here because, again, I've done so many shows about different health issues and disabilities and so on and so forth, and it comes down to money. I mean, doing shows on autism and people getting diagnosed as soon as possible and then following up with care and therapies, it can be very tiring. In terms of caregivers, Julie, sometimes they may not be a parent. It could be a grandparent. It could be a guardian, a foster care. How does the NDSS work with the caregivers? You said meeting other parents really helped you. What other things does the NDSS do to help caregivers?
Well, we have a lot of different education and development and community resources on our website that help sort of research, especially what's in your local area or what special clinic you might want to go to or what kind of therapies or development you might want to research. We don't necessarily get involved in any training aspects, but we have a lot of resources on what care you're going to want to look for or issues you're going to want to look for. There are a lot of national and state programs. Like I was hooked up with something that in my area is called Birth to Three, and they provide therapy from the age of birth till 3 years old when you then transition into the educational system. So there are, and that fee that you pay is on a sliding scale based on your income. So I was just amazed when I was hooked up with them, the day Nina was diagnosed, and they came to me and provided this great service, and again, based on your income. So it's very accessible, very affordable, and a lot of those services have become possible because of advocacy work that we've done in the past and work that we do to make sure those services stay available, especially to people in lower incomes who really need that support.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. I'm very glad that both of you came on the show this morning. I want to encourage people to check out ndss.org to learn more about the society, learn more about Down syndrome, how you can become an advocate. If you have Down syndrome or you know someone who does and they want to share their story, check out My Great Story. The link on there, you can share your story. And also in terms of the advocacy, there's an Advocacy Action Center. You can learn about new policies being presented to the government where you can support and speak with your local, you know, city, state reps to have them push for these policy changes. I think that's a huge power that you have as an individual. Even if you can't give money, you can at least write a letter or send an email automatically. It's very easy on their website in their Advocacy Action Center. So I want to thank you, Julie, for coming on today, and thank you, Dr. Scott Coe, for coming on and sharing more information about Down syndrome in October.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you guys have a wonderful Saturday. Again, I will remind you, you can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan of the show. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook. Next week, we'll be speaking with author, filmmaker, producer Nelson George, and also hip-hop artist Koof Knotts next Saturday, October 29th. And also, early this morning, I spoke to Elio Villafranca, Cuban jazz pianist, so you can listen to that show now. And this show will be archived in a couple minutes, so if you know anybody, again, dealing with Down syndrome, who has Down syndrome, please share the show with them. The show will be archived, and they can listen to it anywhere in the globe, not just in the United States. Again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Dr. Scott Coe, again, and thank you, Julie, for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have a wonderful Saturday.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. You have a wonderful Saturday and a great week. Again, you can send me an email, saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. I wish you a wonderful weekend and a great week. Thank you so much.